Hello, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. Anyway, in this video, I'm talking about Russia's growing aspiration as the strategic situation deteriorates for them. Having said that, there's still a lot of fight left in the dog. I initially thought this war would last 3 months. It's going to be more like 3 years, could be even longer. Think of the Syrian civil war, which broke out in 2011. Nobody predicted it would still be going 12 years later with no end in sight. Likewise, the Libyan civil war, or things last far less time than people anticipated. Remember when NATO pulled out of Afghanistan, some people thought the war might be endless war, but it was over in days, largely. Still a bit of fighting in the Panjshir Valley. But anyway, so the People's Democratic People's Republic of Korea, i.e. North Korea, celebrating the 75th anniversary of its establishment, and noting the Soviet Union, of which Russia is the principal successor state, was the first sovereign state to grant it recognition. So a Russian delegation has been invited and granted pride of place. And these rumors have leaked out about arrangements made for Kim Jong-un, the generalissimo of North Korea, to visit Russia soon, because he needs oil and food and the Russians need his ammunition. He's often got Soviet-era manufactured shells and the Russians are running desperately short of them, that and tanks and things like that. So he doesn't really need it because he's got nukes. Who on earth is going to invade him when he's going to nuke them? But what sort of price will be extracted? Now, the Kremlin's not even denied this. If they denied it, then the proposed visit might be true. As they haven't even denied it, it's definitely true. They're easy because it's so difficult to make arrangements for him to travel because he's so hyper-paranoid. The obvious thing, why didn't Putin visit him? But then Putin be going as a supplicant, which to some extent he is. And all right, the North Koreans are not in a good situation either because the sanctions have bitten and even their people are starving to death. The tyrannical regime is so savagely cruel that they're not going to give up their madcap plans to get greater and greater nuclear range. This war is continuing unabated. But obviously, the Ukrainians make significant progress. Even the Russians have acknowledged they withdrew around Borodino. The Ukrainians got slightly upper hand in the drone warfare situation. But, you know, it's still going on a long time. Even if the Ukrainians get to the Sea of Azov by the end of November, then they've got to hold on there. And even if they do that, yes, they threaten Crimea. Doesn't prove that they're going to necessarily take it back. Not easily, not without a fight. Putin could go nuclear. I'm talking small tactical nukes, and that's why they're talking about it again, the Russians, because the conventional war is going badly for them. But remember, they outnumber the Ukrainians 3.5 to 1. They've been recruiting Cubans into their army, admittedly not in huge numbers. They've had Tajiks and Uzbeks and Kyrgyz and so on who fought for them. Not huge numbers. It's in the dozens who've been proved killed. It might obviously be much higher than that. Sometimes someone's been killed, we don't actually know his nationality. And obviously, people who are non-Russians, who are in the Russian army or Wagner group, are not keen to advertise the fact because they say there's a jail sentence back home, even if it's in a former Soviet country, a member of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. That is Russia's pathetically tiny answer to NATO. It's puny, with only 6 countries, of which Russia's got 90% of the heavy equipment. So more of a liability than an asset for Russia. And Russia's withdrawn troops from Belarus, I suppose because they're so desperate, they have to throw them into the conflagration in southern Ukraine or eastern Ukraine. But that does at least relieve the Ukrainians that realize there's no immediate threat of any significant incursion from the north. Otherwise, if I was then building up whatever, anti-tank ditches, dragon's teeth in the north to make sure that doesn't happen. I thought NATO should do that around the border of Belarus, because the Russians are saying, we can close the Sualiki gap to get from Belarus through to the Kaliningrad exclave. So more drone attacks, and it's obviously more expensive for the Russian airlines. But, you know, the winter is coming, oil and gas prices might help Russia a little bit. You know, Western countries are still buying a lot of energy, nuclear energy or uranium from the Russians, other minerals, other metals, and so on. Russia's dark fleet has successfully exported quite a lot of oil and gas. Despite the fall of the ruble, it's not disastrous for them. And yeah, they just got more people. That's one of the advantages, just numbers. They can just fling them into the battle and use them as cannon fodder. They just stop a bullet. And the Ukrainians run out of people long before the Russians will. But yeah, what a humiliation. They'd have to go cap in hand to the North Koreans for this. But admittedly, the North Koreans need something else. The sanctions are not going to break Russia anytime soon. Look at Iran, a country with half the population of Russia, a much smaller population, and yet they've withstood about 20 years of sanctions with only about a two-year hiatus at the end of the Obama and the beginning of the Trump administrations. And they've taught their Russian confrères how to evade the sanctions. And money talks, and if you pay enough money, you can get almost anything. So, yeah, though Russia's in a bad situation, it's not cataclysmic, and they're not being brought to their knees anytime soon. Will the Ukrainians get to the Sea of Azov this year? I don't think they will, actually. And even if they do, I don't think they'd manage to hold on. But they've made some significant progress, and soon that main railway line and road from Russia to Crimea will be threatened. Not to the Kerch Strait Bridge, that'll be in range of the Ukrainian artillery. So more Russian artillery being taken out at a much faster year rate than Ukrainian artillery. And some of these Western tanks the Ukrainians have been supplied with are almost indestructible. I said almost. And even when they can be destroyed, that usually doesn't mean the crew are killed or even injured, that the rest of it is rendered inoperable. Although the Russian tanks are relatively soft-skinned, their guns are not as accurate, they're quite long range, pack quite a punch and so on. And the Americans are just given these depleted uranium shells to the Russians, so to the Ukrainians. The Russians are fulminating about that, despite having used themselves for years. And it is true there's a cancer risk to people in the area after the war, right? But it's dubious whether they're illegal under international law. The Americans had never agreed not to use them. You shouldn't have used them yourself in the first place, Russia. This wouldn't have happened. You shouldn't have started the war. This would never have happened. So there we go. The Americans are doing it quietly, partly because they've run low on stocks of other things, and they don't want to run down their own stocks too much. And then their own military being in a state of unreadiness. There's only so much they can raise production. They're not actually at war if it's going to cost more. They've already given over $100 billion worth of military aid has been furnished to Ukraine by donor countries such as the United States, Canada, Germany, France, the United Kingdom, the European Union as an entity rather than just as member states as well, Italy, Spain, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, Bulgaria, Slovakia, Norway, and who else? Australia. Not sure about Taiwan. South Korea's refused to give anything. They've given non-military aid. I don't know if they might give some military, but non-lethal aid, certainly non-lethal, because it's deeply unpopular. There's an election coming up. They want to have plenty to fight North Korea if needs be. They will be provocative of the Chinese. That's one of the reasons why the Ukrainians are reluctant to accept anything from Taiwan, because they don't want to irk the People's Republic of China. And you see Russia's relative diplomatic isolation, still getting into the G20s and the foreign minister. The small victory for them is the G20 didn't release a statement denouncing Russia's illegal war of unprovoked aggression against Ukraine. Anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Thank you and good night, everyone.